Etienne. Joe's explosiveness and still barreling into the end zone. Clemson back in front.
Is Clemson alert for a fake? Bullivus from 40 yards, and it is a fake. And taking off is Mac Jones, the backup quarterback, and it's snuffed out. Niles Pinckney made the stop.
If I hope Hollywood producer can write it, but I'm just telling you, if I can do it, if these Clemson Tigers can do it, hey, anybody can do it if you have a belief in yourself and what you're doing, and you surround yourself with a bunch of great young people that are passionate about winning. And tonight, we conquered a mountain that ain't ever been conquered. The flag's on the top, and man, I can't wait to celebrate.
The Dabomercial at the end of the festivities last night on TV, a college football national championship game that was very short on drama, but not short on storylines for sure. We'll dig into some of that today as the Clemson Tigers, the first team to ever, in FBS history, ever go 15-0 in a college football season. Welcome in, everybody. The Triple Threat on another beautiful day here in the city of Houston. This is why you live in Houston in January, people. Just roll down your windows. Smell it. Suck it all in. This is why you live here this time of year. It's good to be with you. That's right, Rack. That's right. Rack, you are not allowed to go outside for a little while. You got work to do on that defense. You can go outside to eat, maybe go get some, but you got to get back in that defense and fix that secondary, Rack. I'm telling you right now.
He needs better players.
Hey, Rack, what would you say if I told you you could go get a corner with 4.28 speed? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Good to be with all of you on a Tuesday, the Triple Threat. My name's Sean Pendergast. To my right is Rich Lord.
How you doing, Sean?
I'm great, Rich. How are you?
I am very well. It's great to be here. Congratulations to, I think I'm okay in saying this, friends of the show, Dabo Swinney.
Yeah, we're going to get to reconvene with him tomorrow at the Bear Bryant Awards.
I cannot wait.
I bet he can't wait. I bet he's like, man, I can't wait to get with Rich and Sean, and just because they are two guys that subscribe to exactly what I subscribe to, and that's a belief in oneself.
But two nights after winning it all last night in the national championship game, and I'm not going to lie, yeah, we like Dabo. He's been good to us. He's been very gracious with us. He's given us some of his time. So, you know, and he's been very friendly with us. So we like him. We kind of pull for him.
Right.
I would say the opposite is true of Nick Saban.
I'm going to tell you this.
I don't know what this says about me. Probably nothing really good, but I have to say I thoroughly enjoyed Nick Saban getting his face rubbed in it last night and Nick Saban being on the end of an ass-kicking for once.
Well, for once, you're being literally accurate in terms of his tenure at Alabama. They'd never gotten beat like that in any game by anybody. Nick Saban hasn't lost a game by that many points since he was the coach of the Miami Dolphins back in 2006. So, yeah, and Nick Saban being on the wrong end of one of the most questionable, I mean, this is an understatement of the year, questionable in-game decisions in the history of postseason football, in the history of postseason college football, was pretty good, too. It was like a six-year-old playing Madden hijacked his headset and was like, let's do the fake field goal. And, you know, the one where the kicker is leading our holder through the hole, that was unbelievable. It was an interesting night for a game that was really, I mean, it was close in the first quarter. It was high scoring in the first quarter. But once Clemson took control of that game in the second quarter,
it was like Texans Colts.
It was curtains.
In that regard, you knew the game was effectively over.
Alabama didn't score in the second half of that game. Clemson showed up the way people, if someone had told you before that game, 44-16 is going to be the final score. Clemson showed up the way most people would have expected Alabama to show up. Most people would have said, okay, well, Alabama took care of their business. But Clemson was amazing. Trevor Lawrence was incredible.
He's 19 years old, Sean.
He's a true freshman.
He's a freaking teenager.
Yeah.
And did what he did to Alabama's defense last night. I mean, he shredded them. And because of the rules, he is required, I don't think he's ever going to sit out, to play at least two more years for the Clemson Tigers.
Oh,
that's
got
to be pretty scary for the rest of the college football world.
Well, and his top target last night was Justin Ross, who's also a true freshman.
And sophomores.
It's crazy. And Dabo was asked today, I didn't see the press conference today. You know, they do the day after press conference, and Dabo was asked today, how are you going to replace all those defensive linemen? That was the strength of that Clemson team coming into the season, Rich, was guys like Dexter Lawrence, who didn't play in the game, but which is crazy. Like, he's their best defensive lineman. He didn't play. Farrell and Wilkins and other guys along that. That was believed to be the strength of that team, and it was. he was asked today, how are you going to replace all those guys? And Dabo's like, we got guys nobody knows about that are getting ready to step right in for these guys.
Right. I mean, look.
He's a machine.
Deshaun Watson out, Trevor Lawrence in. That's essentially Joe Montana out, Steve Young in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are elite, you know, arguably the best players at their position in the entire sport, type talents that are occupying that QB position for Clemson pretty much back-to-back. Although I will say this, one of the funniest parts about them going 15-0, and there's a little trivia in there, there hasn't been a 15-0 college football team since the 1800s. I don't even know who it was, but whatever. But the fact that they got to where they wound up at 15-0 winning the national championship with needing Kelly Bryant to beat Syracuse, right? Or to beat Texas A&M. Needing Kelly Bryant to beat Texas A&M.
Yeah.
And that was a 2-point win on the road.
Yeah.
And then needing Chase Brice to finish off Syracuse after Trevor Lawrence got hurt. Those are going to be two names that are going to be kind of lost in the wash over the years, depending on how well those guys wind up doing for themselves. But, you know, people will immediately assume it was a direct handoff from Deshaun Watson to Trevor Lawrence. And there were a couple of other guys in there that helped them bridge the gap.
Well, I would argue Chase Brice fits that category. To me, Kelly Bryant was just standing in the way of Trevor Lawrence. That game was close against A&M because Trevor Lawrence wasn't in there. But you like Bryant a lot more than I do, Rich.
But go back to that game. Kelly Bryant made plays late in that game that helped them win that game.
He did.
He was a factor in them winning
course,
that game.
Yeah, but I mean, they needed a wonky fumble through the end zone to win that game.
No, I'm not arguing that it was an in-waiting sort of thing. I mean, that it was an inevitable sort of thing. But, you know, without Kelly Bryant in College Station, Clemson maybe loses that game.
Maybe. Or if Trevor Lawrence starts that game, maybe they win by 3 touchdowns the way Trevor Lawrence plays as a freshman. Who knows?
He's amazing.
The bottom line is he is amazing. And when he was asked about it after the game, they said, how many more? I think it was Maria Taylor. It was the sideline reporter who asked him after the game, how many more of these are you going to do? And he said, well, I guess 3 more. And I think America collectively rolled their eyes and said, no, it'll be 2. It'll be 2 more.
There's no doubt.
He would be the number one pick in this draft if he were to come out.
Right.
Especially considering how thin this QB class is.
Well, and he's the least likely person ever to reply to that question with, I don't know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
That dude just got done playing in the national championship. He just finished playing in the national championship game, and they interviewed him, and you would have think he just finished up getting a massage.
Yeah,
the dude was so relaxed.
When he took out your Fighting Irish in the semifinals, I think I texted you and said you can't lose to Spicoli. And
yeah,
he's you know,
I can't believe a guy with Blaine Gabbert's rookie year haircut was able to win a national championship. Flowing locks out of the back of the helmet, man.
That's
usually not a recipe for success at the quarterback position. He was absolutely incredible last night. Clemson's built to last.
And for that defense to do what it did without Dexter Lawrence speaks to the ridiculous depth, especially in that front seven on that defense. And an amazing collection of talent, a bunch of high draft picks waiting to begin their NFL careers.
How about the guys on the other side in the trenches for him, Rich? Lawrence didn't get touched.
Underrated.
Literally didn't get touched all night. The only time he got touched is when he tucked the ball and ran and got tackled. He didn't take one hit in the... Like, literally didn't get hit in the pocket all night.
And that's
against Alabama.
Right, what had been an elite pass rush throughout this entire college football season. Amazing stuff. Nobody could have predicted it. I thought going into the game that it was kind of a toss-up. I certainly thought the spread was larger than it should have been and sort of disrespectful.
I had Alabama. Clemson. I took Alabama and laid the points. I feel like an idiot today.
I thought it was a coin flip game.
Yeah.
I really did. And I, of course, never thought that one team would blow out the other. And if one did, it was more likely to be Alabama. But Clemson doing what it did, props to Clemson. I can't wait to talk to Dabo tomorrow night. We hope he'll be there.
Dabo will be there.
At the Bear Bryant
No chance
Awards.
Saban's there.
No chance.
Saban, when he does go, hates being there. He shows up like 5 minutes before it starts, leaves 1 minute after it leaves.
If he'd won last night, would he be there?
Yeah, but he would do the same thing. He would show up if he won last night, but he wouldn't do an interview with us, I guarantee you that.
Right.
And he would leave 2 minutes after it was over. Now, with losing the game, he ain't showing up tomorrow.
And the rules in place now for that award, you know, they've already done the voting, obviously. If Saban canceled, like, within the last several hours and said, no, I'm not going to be there, and happened to have won the award, they recalculate.
Yeah, you
gotta
be there.
They take him out of the calculations and the voting, and the next highest vote getter is the one who wins the award.
All right.